Hello, everybody. Welcome to the No Show podcast. As always, I'm your host, Gun Ho.
And as always, I'm your other host, Alex.
And with us today, we have a very special guest.
Jack.
Yay.
Hey, everybody. That was pretty good. I do have a couple notes.
Let's hear them.
Well, my starter is that you didn't, like, I'm known that I start every episode with Heyo. That's what people tell me that they notice that.
Sorry, let me try again.
Okay, so yeah.
All right, take two. 안녕하세요. 저 이름은 건호입니다. 노쇼 팟캐스트 와서 감사합니다. How's that?
That was good. That was good.
That was very accurate. That was such a good.
I said it in Korean, but I did it with like a Japanese accent for some reason.
I feel like I do just want to mention that Gun Ho is Korean. That is why he spoke Korean.
I don't know. Gun Ho is a pretty Irish name.
Oh my god.
Gun Ho Kwok is the most Irish name I've ever heard. So we have a very exciting show for you guys today. We're gonna start off waxing poetic as we always do. You know, what's going on? Like, how's everyone's week going? And then we have a game that I made. So Jack gets to participate in his first game.
That's true. Yay.
And maybe we'll find out who everyone has a crush on? Question mark?
Question mark? Smiley face? Heart emoji?
I do think it'd be funny to do a bit of like a middle school podcast.
Oh my god.
And it's like, yeah, it's like, so okay, funny. Topic of the week. Who does everybody have a crush on?
I would love that.
I started dating Miranda, and we definitely held hands until Ms. Pukowski told us we had to stop. So this is the wax section of the podcast.
It's good. It's good. And I should also mention that this episode is the last episode of the year.
Yeah.
This is the 43rd episode of the No Show. I've done 42 of these. I've done 42 hours of content.
Well, Alex and I have done 42 of these.
That's true.
Yeah. Because obviously
I've only been a guest a few times. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. I've been behind the scenes the whole time. I've given all of Jack's lines to a little earpiece.
Gun Ho writes the scripts.
Yeah. So a topic that I think could actually lead into the first game pretty nicely is we filmed the musical this week.
We did film the musical this week. Yes. That is like the biggest reason as to why, like, I didn't get any other guests because I just had this thing I was doing. And of course, I love y'all. And I'm very happy to have you guys on the show again.
Like, truly, though, I think those like 3 days, 4 days from Thursday to Sunday, I just like, no, we recorded on Saturday. Why did I include Sunday in that? Because I slept all Sunday. Those 3 days were three of the most exhausting days I've ever experienced.
I cannot tell you how emotionally, physically, mentally, just overall spiritually drained I was the next day. I felt like I needed to go into a coma.
And we got some of the sample footage, and it looks amazing.
It looks amazing. Gorgeous. I knew it would look good, but I mean, like, when you're trying something new, like, we haven't done this before. I mean, of course, there's that nerves of like, oh, like, what if it doesn't work? But it was nice to see it and just have all those nerves go away and just be
So for those of you who aren't aware, the musical is supposed to happen live, like in front of an audience in January. But because of Omicron, we've had to push it. And now what we're doing is, we've recorded the show and we're releasing tickets for it to be streamed.
Yes.
So Thursday and Friday, we were doing a lot of technical stuff. We were doing something called like Tech Days, which is fully dedicated to the technicians kind of getting used to like setting all the lights, setting all the sets. And then we recorded all day Saturday. And yeah, it was the first experience for a lot of, maybe most of us,
it was
to record a show this way.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I was like, I've been in shows that have been recorded, and I was saying that Gunho and I saw each other earlier today, and I was saying this about it, where like, I love that we didn't just like try to just like, we're just going to put on the play and record it. We did it like a very hybrid theater and film. And I think that's why it looks so good, because it's not just like one camera stationary the entire time, your different angles. Like, it looks like a movie. And I think that's also why I love the movie Tick, Tick, Boom so much. It's because it was directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is so used to directing stage. And it was this perfect blend to me of the stage show and this extra content they had written for the movie.
Well, that's the best way to film a stage show.
Yeah, you can't, like Hamilton, like how they did.
Exactly,
Hamilton. We it's filmed so them hard. Like a sitcom, because we had one wide angle shot and then two close up cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very interesting to do it that way. Like,
I'm
in the same boat as Jack. I've been to shows where we've recorded, but I've never ever done, like, we were pausing in between scenes, we're doing like multiple takes of scenes.
Yeah,
we really filmed it like a sitcom.
Yeah, what really got me to go, oh, this is like a movie set, was the slate, because I totally didn't think about that. But before every take, it was like act one, scene three, take one, clack, and then it was
It reminded me so much of like filming the movie that I filmed, because it did not feel like I was doing a musical theater moment at all. And I remember saying to like anyone that didn't hear from me for 3 days, because I was way too busy, I was like, I have no closure. Like, I don't know how to accept the ending of this, because it was so different from anything that I've ever experienced.
We also filmed, because like people had to leave and come back at like different times, we had to film like the last scene
of the very emotional ending scene.
The first half of the day.
Yes.
So it was very odd too.
Yeah. The show ends in this just like beautiful like group number. Almost everyone gets a solo. It's such a nice like wrapping up of the show, so emotional. And it was, and we filmed it, in the second hour.
Yeah. It was like still the morning when we filmed it.
I was laughing about that. One of the best parts of that was the little slip up that you had, Gunho, that I made fun of you for this for quite a bit. And it was, there's a part in the song where we all start clapping. Oh, and my Gunho, God. Gunho started the clapping, but he started it on beats one and three.
Listen, as a music major, that's my greatest shame. Okay, please, if you're listening to the podcast episode, don't tell anyone I did.
Well, then it got to one of the other people like me who know music started going like, we started clapping on two and four.
The worst part was I immediately realized what I had done, but it was too late.
It was too late.
I had already started it, and I was like,
"See, I was part of the group who was like on the other side of the stage who came in on the one and three because we heard people clapping on the one and three, and then all of a sudden I was like, "This feels wrong, but I don't know how to stop."
Yeah,
I'll send it to you guys after, but. Have you ever seen the clip of, I think it's Harry Connick Jr. playing piano?
No.
He did like a concert, and he plays piano when he sings. And the audience was clapping on the first and third beat. And so in his like solo part where he's not singing, he threw in a bar of 5/4 time to correct it.
Oh,
and it's
incredible, because you just suddenly hear them start on the right beat, and it's like the musical genius that you have to just add in a beat of 5/4 halfway, because 5/4 can be so confusing.
I was gonna, like, because I remember Justin Bieber, there's a clip of him and he's at a concert and he's singing and the audience claps on 1 and 3 and he stops the song and goes, guys, clap on 2 and 4 like this, and then he started the song back up.
God.
which I think is infinitely funnier, but the 5-4 thing is pretty cool.
A few years back, I did Mamma Mia back in my hometown. And so Mamma Mia, it's because it's ABBA, people sing along and they clap. And because it's community theater, people also drink. And so every song, you would almost hear like an applause throughout the song. Because it would be just, it would be just like.
Oh God.
Okay. It was hilarious.
This is a PSA. If you ever go to a musical, do not clap to the song.
Do not clap.
No. Do not, unless the actors are looking at you and giving you the eyes of like, clap along.
Yeah, or like they start clapping and they're like getting you to clap with them. Like curtain call, they might do that. They'll be like,
God, like if you watch a Harry Potter senior year, when they're singing Going Back to Hogwarts and the audience starts clapping and they start rushing, I was like, oh my, this is a mess.
Yeah, because it messes with your whole rhythm.
Yeah. This is a mess.
But speaking of music theater, I think it's time to play my game.
When I asked Gunho to be on the episode this week, he was like, you know, I actually thought of a game we could play next time.
So I really wish I could share my screen, but I will just have to read it out to you. So this game is called No Show Purdy. So like I said, this is the short version of the game. So there's 5 categories, but it only goes up to 300. So 100, 200, 300. So the first category is Golden Age musicals.
Oh, no.
Second is contemporary musicals.
Okay.
Third is writers and actors.
Okay.
Fourth is finish the lyric.
Oh, no.
The last category is Gunho's musical adventures.
Oh, so it's all about musicals. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
I should also, I thought, you know, as 3 music theater people, it'd be a fun game. Mm-hmm. I do want to preface, there is one question that mentions domestic abuse. And I really want it to be clear that I didn't include that to make light of domestic abuse. I just like it's just a very absurd thing that exists in this musical. And when I first found out about it, I couldn't believe that this is an actual plot point. And I wanted to share it to be like, hey, we should write better musicals.
this is a PSA.
Who wants to go first?
I think Jack should go first.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do contemporary musicals for 100.
All right. Okay. This musical takes place over 3 days in a neighborhood in New York City and tackles themes such as family, the immigrant experience, and home.
What is In the Heights?
Yeah. Okay, that was a little bit of a
good.
Gimme. That was a gimme. I can also keep track of points here. Nice.
It's funny. I was about to say falsettos because I know nothing about falsettos, but I know it's about like suburban families. And then I heard the immigrant part, and I was like, I don't think falsettos is about immigrants. And then I went right. In the Heights is about immigrants.
Right. Yeah. I don't want it because. If I'd put it's a neighborhood called Washington Heights, I thought it'd be too obvious. So, so Jack, since you got the point, you get to pick the next category.
Ooh, I'm going to pick actors and writers for 100.
All righty.
We'll see how I do.
This person wrote musicals such as Rent and Tick, Tick, Boom. Alex, you have to buzz in.
I didn't know I had to buzz in.
Sorry, no, it's no show pretty.
Yeah, it's no show pretty. You have to buzz
in.
Okay,
fine. Jack?
Okay. Who is Jonathan Larson?
That is correct. So Jack is up 200 points.
I need to learn how to buzz in.
Next category again. Okay, let's settle our buzz in. So Jack says, what do you want to do, Alex?
Woo woo.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, right. I'm going to go with Gunho's musical journey for 100.
Alrighty. This musical is often described as Gunho's least favorite.
Woo woo!
Alex?
Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, you didn't answer the fourth question, but I'm gonna give it to you. That is correct. It is what is good and hits it.
I do agree.
Alex, you get to pick the next category.
I'm gonna go for Gunhouse Musical Adventures for 200.
Alrighty. This was Gunho's first musical. Bonus points. What role did he play? Jack?
It's a long shot. I think it was... Sorry, what is Anything Goes and what is Ensemble?
That is incorrect. But that was one of the things I did.
Yeah. I remember you telling me about that one recently. And so I remember going...
Oh gosh.
Well, technically I played a character named Luke, but it was pretty much Ensemble. And it was
I for the life of me cannot remember any of the earlier ones in your career that you've told me.
Yeah.
But I am going to guess, for reasons that I can't explain, Chicago.
No, I would love to be in Chicago, but Alex just said, can you put the categories? One sec.
Thanks.
It's like right out of grasp of my memory. I can quite, like, it's right there.
I know you started musical theater, like, in high school, correct?
This was so, like... in junior high school. The correct answer is, what is Grease and who is Danny Zuko?
Right, you did. I remember hearing about that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I guess Alex got the last one.
Yeah,
so
Alex picked
that musicals, one. Golden Age Musicals, Writers and Actors, Finish the Lyrics, and Gunho's Musical Adventure.
Sorry, Gunho, are you keeping track of, like, which ones are left?
Yes, I am.
Awesome, cool.
Alex, you get to pick.
Oh, okay, it's me? Okay, so I'm gonna go with Writers and Actors for 200.
Okay. This person was the first wheelchair user to be nominated and win a Tony Award for acting, specifically the Tony Award for Best Featured Actress in a Musical.
I feel like I've heard about this, but I can't think of who it was.
I hate myself.
I do have hints that I can give, but you'll get half points.
I want a hint.
You guys want to take the hint?
Yes, please.
And this person was on the Glee project. And eventually ended up on Glee 2.
Can I just say the character from Glee? Whoop whoop.
Okay.
Girl in wheelchair with the big chest area.
That is who it is.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you guys are great. So the answer is, who is Ally Stroker?
Ally Stroker. I know.
Alex, I'll give you quarter points for that.
Okay, I'll take it. Ally
Stroker.
So that's 50.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you said it, I was like, I can picture this person in my head, but I absolutely couldn't tell you your name. Mm-hmm.
Let's let Jack pick a category next.
Okay, I'm going to do contemporary musicals for 200.
Alrighty. Before Come From Away, this used to be the longest running Canadian musical on Broadway with 674 performances.
Are we just, like, bad musical theater people?
I purposely picked, like, some harder ones. Jack, go for it.
I'm just going to throw out a guess. I'm going to guess Phantom of the Opera, even though I know it's not correct.
That is incorrect. Phantom of the Opera was written by British writer.
Right, that's what I thought.
Lloyd Webber.
Oh, right. It was Lloyd Webber, wasn't it? Forgot that, too. Sorry, you know what's funny? My brain went, Cats? No, Andrew Lloyd Webber wasn't Canadian. What about Phantom of the Opera? Oh my god.
Well, I think the 674 is a good clue because it shows like it's not one of the longest runnings, but it ran for a long time.
I'm probably going to be surprised to find out that the show is Canadian, whatever it is.
Yeah, I feel like me too. So I feel like I should just pick one. Like, woo-woo, Wicked.
No, the answer is, what is the Drowsy Chaperone?
I ain't never heard of that.
It's Mirth's favorite musical. Shout out to Mirth. Or LMT. I know that because it's always in LMT Trivia Nights. Because it's Mirth's favorite musical.
You might know that one song. I don't want to show off no more. Sutton Foster was in it. Jack, pick another category. You guys haven't touched Golden Age or finished the lyric.
You know that I hate Golden Age musicals. I'm gonna go with finish the lyrics for 100.
Okay. All right, ready? Time flies, and then no need to endure anymore. Time dies, blank. Yeah, Jack.
And then you're on the floor.
No. Bonus points if you can guess what show this is from, and the title of the song. I try to do the flattest read of it. Alex is decoding the universe right now.
Woo-woo. Is that from Rent?
It is from Rent.
Oh.
Do you want me to read it again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time flies, and then no need to endure anymore. Time dies.
Don't let me mess up the order of the words.
I can't think of what song.
One Song Glory?
Yes.
Oh.
But you gotta finish the lyric.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You got all the bonus points, but not the actual lyric.
Well, I'll take the bonus points. Can you say it one more time?
Time flies, and then no need to endure anymore. Time dies, blank.
We're living in America.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to call it. I'll give you the bonus points. The answer was The Door. Because that's what Mimi knocks.
Right. Oh. Well
done, well done. So, Alex, you get to pick the next category.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to go with finish the lyric for 200.
Perfect. Someone to crowd you with love, someone to force you to care, someone to make you come through, blank, blank, blank.
Oh, crap, wait.
I've definitely heard this one.
Sorry, what was the last part of that lyric? Just so I...
I'll just do the whole thing here. Someone to crowd you with love, someone to force you to care, someone to make you come through.
Are we doing bonus points again?
Yep.
Okay, well, it's Being Alive.
From?
Company.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear it. I can hear Kurt singing it in glee, and it won't come out.
It's great because we do so much like musical theory stuff with LMT, but I actually don't really listen to much musicals. And so then we do like a trivia night, and I'm just like,
Listen, they refused to include the musicals I know in trivia night, so I had to make my own. I'm going to throw it over to Jack.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's something like someone you know is there, like someone who you know is there.
Yeah, that's the first part of it.
Oh. Oh, wait, there's more to it.
Yeah. Yeah, go for it, Alex.
Someone who you know is there to remind you of being alive.
So close. I'm gonna call it here. It's someone to make you come through who'll always be there, as frightened as you of being alive.
Crap. I love that song too. That makes it's me so angry.
So I guess Alex, because you got the bonus points, but not the actual answer, you get to pick the next one.
Okay. Just because we've been neglecting it, I'm gonna go Golden Age musicals for 100.
For 100. This musical taught most of us our Doremis. I think that was Alex.
That would be The Sound of Music.
That love The Sound correct. Of Music. Best Christmas movie. I don't know why it's a Christmas movie, but it's a great Christmas
movie. But it is.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It feels like a Christmas movie. Oh,
it's because it's of...
so good.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. But that like song feels so Christmas.
During the musical. Yeah.
This is like true.
Exclusively takes place over like spring.
I saw like a thing about when they were making the movie for it. Because they made the movie not that long after World War II, they were like putting up like Nazi flags for an external shot in the city that they were filming in, because they were doing like, this is like the Nazi building, and they and the city council was like, you can't put those up, like you're not allowed to put those up.
Yeah, period.
And they were like, and so the production crew was like, okay, we'll just instead use real footage of you welcoming Nazis into the city. And they went, you can put them up.
Oh my god. Oh my
god.
But it's such just like
a real okay. quick story. When my junior high school did Sound of Music, the kids who were playing the Nazis were on break and they were playing basketball outside. And they forgot to take off the swastika armband.
Wow. No.
And fully like, I'm sure people drove by and were like, those kids have swastikas on their arms. And it was a big problem. No. Anyways, Alex, you get to pick the next category.
Okay, I'm going to go with Golden Age.
Point check right now. Oh. Jack is at 200 and Alex is at 350.
Oh, awesome. I thought it was further. Awesome.
You still have a chance to come back.
I'm going to go Golden Age musicals for 200. That made me hopeful.
Yeah.
So this is the question I warned everyone about. So if you don't want to hear it, you could probably skip ahead like a minute. This musical's climax involves a domestically abusive man coming back from the dead and then hitting his daughter. The daughter then asks her mother about it, and her mother's response is, "It is possible, dear, for someone to hit you hard and not hurt at all."
That sounds familiar, but I just cannot place it.
I saw the show live and I was like, pardon? What did she just say?
There's a lot of like old musicals like that. Just have one weird scene. I was telling Gun Ho about my hometown put on Christmas Story, the musical. And like the ending scene of that musical is when they go to the Chinese restaurant, and it is just horrible. And I remember watching it just being like, oh my god. Like, yeah, this is a real thing that we put on.
I feel like, does anyone want to just throw out a guess?
I mean, I have like, I'm going to throw out like a random old musical. Jack? What is The King and I?
No. But I do think they're the same writers.
Oh, I see.
I'll give you half points for it unless Alex just gets it on the head.
What is Dear Evan Hansen? There was a musical written like 5 years ago.
Woo-hoo. What is...
Yes, Alex?
What is To the Moon?
The Moon?
Yeah.
No, the answer is Carousel.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
You know, I'll give Jack like a quarter point for guessing the right writer.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jack, you get to pick.
I'm gonna go contemporary musicals 300.
Right. I should say, the only thing that's left is the 300 line for every category.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Contemporary musicals for 300. This musical is considered Sondheim's only flop. Audiences had such a hard time following along to the story and telling the actors apart that eventually they all wore clothes with their characters' names written on them. Yep.
I don't think this is right, but what is Bat Out of Hell?
No, Sondheim didn't write Bat Out of Hell.
I know.
I did see Bat Out of Hell in Toronto, and it was the craziest musical I've ever seen.
That's like the same critique that I've heard. I know, like, I am, like, my head's just going, like, I know that there is a Sondheim flop, but I cannot think of what it was called.
This one also has a hint.
Okay. Yeah.
Right now, this movie is filming. It started filming a few years ago, and the plan is to film it for the next 20 years as the movie takes place over 20 years. It's the same director as Boyhood.
You told me about this, but I don't remember.
Oh, God.
Starring our favorite boy, Ben Platt.
Yeah!
Wow.
Well, what, I don't know.
What high school does it take place in?
We don't talk about that. Do you have a guess, Alex? You want to just throw up?
I have no guess. I have no guess at all.
Right. The correct answer is, what is Merrily We Roll Along?
Oh my! Mm-hmm. I hate myself.
Right, because they just announced a revival of it, and Daniel Radcliffe's going to star in it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's why I was thinking about it, is because I've been seeing people say, like, this was a flop, but they're doing this new stuff with it.
I also think there's a production with Lin-Manuel Miranda in it, too.
Oh, very nice.
But Alex, let's let you pick the next category.
Let's go with Finish the Lyric for 300.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When I hear a complimentary whistle that greets my bikini by the sea, I turn and I glower and I gristle. Blank. What's up?
To find someone staring at me is my guess.
Not kind of far. I'll tell you later.
I'll fill you in later.
Can you say it again, Gahan?
Yes. When I hear a complimentary whistle that greets my bikini by the sea, I turn and I glower and I gristle. Blank. Yep.
And I feel like I'm free.
No. Okay, so this song is from a flower drum song, and the song's title is I Enjoy Being a Girl. I'm going to read you this lyric in its entirety. When I hear a complimentary whistle that greets my bikini by the sea, I turn and I glower and I gristle, but I'm happy to know the whistle's meant for me. That's why I hate Golden Age musicals.
Yeah, that's
wow.
Something for sure.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's from our boys, Rodgers and Hammerstein. Alex, do you want to pick the next one? So close to being done. I know this game's been going on for so long.
Alex, pick Golden Age so we don't have to.
Okay. Let's do Golden Age for 300.
Okay. Although this musical is set in Russia, its depiction of tradition versus change made this musical a huge hit in Japan.
No, that's not right.
Yep.
I don't even think this one is set in Russia. What is Fiddler on the Roof?
That is correct.
No.
Yes.
I feel like I've heard the accent, but I don't know if it's, I don't know if it was like a stereotypical Jewish accent that they were doing, or if it was like, I just remember hearing accents.
It's a story about Jewish people in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I threw in the little tradition there because I was like, this is a kind of a hard one. So that's a bit of a hint in the thing. But yeah, it was a huge, I think like still to this day, like they put on revivals of it all the time.
I remember because the song, If I Were a Rich Man, went viral on TikTok for a bit. And then you had a lot of Jewish people kind of saying like, hey, like just a heads up. This song isn't that great. Like, this is what it's actually about. Yeah. Like, right. please be just nice about it.
Mind you share. Yeah.
Well, there's only two categories left: writers and actors for 300, and Gunna for 300. Point check. Alex is at 350, but with that last question, Jack shot up to 550.
Yeah.
So there's two questions left. Who will win?
Okay.
Oh, do I choose?
Yes.
I'm going to choose writers and actors so we can end on.
Wow. This person was the first to ever complete an EGOT, which means winning an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, ooh, and Tony Award. Alex?
Neil Patrick Harris?
No, I don't think Neil Patrick Harris has an EGOT. I don't think he has a Grammy. Jack, remember, this is the first person to have done
it. Who is Gene Kelly?
That is incorrect. I'll give you guys both one more hint. This person's name was said since this game has started.
Ooh.
Jack?
Who is Sutton Foster?
No.
Oh. I guess that is probably too recent, too.
I feel like Sutton Foster has not won, like, three of those. Yeah. I think she's only won one.
I remember people saying that, Gunho, you and I are big Bo Burnham fans. Remember people saying, like, Bo Burnham could achieve EGOT status. Because he was up for an Emmy, and I don't know if he's up for a Grammy, but
the Tony's the big one, right? Like,
yeah, they're kind of, yeah, like people don't really think that he would really get into Broadway.
Yeah, what's up?
Mel Brooks?
That is incorrect. I do think he has one. Fun fact, I think only one person has a double EGOT, which means two of each, and that's the guy who wrote Frozen. What's his name? Robert Lopez, I think.
Oh,
the answer is Richard Rodgers.
Oh, I see.
Most people with EGOTs are writers.
Yeah, I'm just curious about like how many people have it. Quite a few people actually have it. Do you want me to just go through the list?
Like actors who have EGOTs.
Yeah.
Like Whoopi Goldberg comes to mind.
Yeah, I'm gonna just like rapid fire through the list. Richard Rodgers, Helen Hayes. This might actually be in order, I think. Rita Moreno, John Gielgud, Audrey Hepburn, Marvin Hamlisch, Jonathan Tunick, Mel Brooks, Mike Nichols, Whoopi Goldberg, Scott Rudin, Robert Lopez, Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tim Rice, John Legend, Alan Menken. Then there's also non-competitive awards that are kind of like people, you know what I mean? Like the other kinds of Oscars and stuff. And that includes Barbara Streisand, Liza Minnelli, James Earl Jones, love him, Harry Belafonte, and Quincy Jones. That's pretty cool.
I love that.
Lin-Manuel Miranda missed out on getting an EGOT again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought he had one.
He just needs an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
He has an Oscar.
He won for
Encanto.
Did he just win?
Yeah.
Encanto won.
But yeah,
he wrote the music for Encanto.
No, but I think it won for movie, but it didn't win for like any music.
No, yeah, I think it's also like the individual. Like the individual has these awards. Apparently there's actually there's also like other variations. There's a PGOT, which includes a Peabody Award or Pulitzer. There's three people who have those. Barbara Streisand. Yeah,
Lynn would have a Peabody if he could just win an Oscar.
Yeah, it says, yeah, so it says that. It says Lin-Manuel Miranda missing an Oscar. Stephen Sondheim missing an Emmy.
Damn.
Then there's an EGOT, which includes an Annie Award.
Yeah, and some people are trying to add the Streamies to that, but it's like, I don't know, man.
Oh, hell no.
I don't think anyone could do that.
Oh, hell no.
So what's funny is, you said that Robert Lopez is a double EGOT award. If you include the Annie Award, Robert Lopez is also a twice EGOT award.
Crazy.
Oh, Robert. He's
just the GOAT.
Oh, he's a GOAT. And then Alan Menken also.
Okay.
All right, final question. So, Alex, this is your chance to take home the
right. Picture. I forgot that we have one more question.
So Gunho's musical adventure for 300. Mm-hmm. This was the first musical Gunho saw on Broadway.
I'm going to go for What is Chicago?
I have like no relationship to Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, Alex?
I feel like the answer should be Wicked.
Wicked was the first show I saw on the West End. I've never seen Wicked on Broadway, actually. I'll give a little hint. This musical features British characters.
Woo woo.
Alex?
Six?
No, I haven't seen Six.
What is it, Hamilton?
No, I haven't seen Hamilton. I saw it on Disney Plus.
I see. I thought that you were doing like hint. I see. I thought that you were doing like a really sneaky hint with the British characters, like you were trying to.
I'll give another hint. I think it opened in 2015. And that's when I saw it. It's, yeah.
British characters.
I feel like I made the questions too hard.
British characters. I'm trying to think of what Broadway show. Anastasia? I don't think that's right.
No, I think those are all Russian characters.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at my wall of.
All right, one last thing. Yeah, Alex?
The King and I?
No. Okay, this is my final hand I'm going to call it. It has a really long title.
What is A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder?
That is correct.
I knew it because the second that you said that, I remember that you told me that because we talked about what shows we've seen on Broadway. And I went, he's seen A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
Yeah, well, that's the end of our game. The we final point tally is 350 for Alex and 850 for Jack. Well, thanks for playing. I'm so
I didn't like this
so
game.
Long.
It's okay. That's fine. Thank you, Gunho.
Can you imagine if we played the long version? It would have been the whole episode.
Well, do you know that so the first two episodes of the show, there's three games because I just thought to do three. And then after, I think it's after like 10 episodes, I had an episode where we just didn't get to the third game. And I was like, oh, that actually worked a lot better because there's more time to like have a conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to talk about this a lot because it's everywhere, but I do just kind of want to just tell like briefly the story of how I first heard about this. So as some of you might have seen at the Oscars, Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. I don't want to talk about it a lot also just because I'm a white guy. I feel like I don't really have a lot of
I have a lot of words
that I should talk about it. But I just, it's just like like the story of me, because I was with Gunho that night and I was just sitting with him at a bar and I saw it and I was like, and I said to Gunho, I was like, oh, they did this skit where Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. And then I clicked on it and I was like, wait, he actually slapped him. And Gunho was like, are you serious? And we watched the video and I was like, oh my God. And then the whole night was me and Gunho just like, that was it real? We couldn't figure out if it was real or not.
I mean, and then I saw the clip where like Will like fully cusses him out and the whole theater goes, ooh. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't think this is a
bit. I feel bad for Lupita Nyong'o is like in the frame. And I'm like, I would hate to be another actor in that frame because like your reaction would immediately be analyzed. And so not want to be a part of it.
I have a few short words.
Yeah, you're welcome to
hear them.
My words on this were, the joke that was made was really messed up.
Yeah.
It was about, number one, it was about her hair, which the reason he made fun of it is like she's very openly like she has alopecia. Mm-hmm. And so that's already messed up. Second of all, like, hair is something so incredibly sacred to Black women, and that is so messed up. It's also messed up that she was not a competitor that night. She was someone's plus one.
Yeah,
she's being made fun of for laughs. Messed up. I would like to say, I understand why Will Smith did what he did. I still don't support assault.
That was the thing. Like, I when I was talking with my group of friends, I was like, I you know, hitting someone probably wasn't the right answer, but it was like, I understand where like his like feelings were coming from. My biggest thing was that it was a bad joke. Like, it wasn't even funny.
It wasn't funny.
If he had said something like so clever, like, I mean, like, you should make fun of someone's illness, period. But if you're going to have the gall to do it, at least tell a good joke. But the joke was already bad. Like, it was, like, bad enough that he had to, like, right after he said it, he was like, oh, come on, guys. It was a good joke.
Like, I saw, you have to say that it's not.
He said right after, he was like, it was in the script. It was in the script. And then the Oscars came forward and they were like, it was not in the script.
It was not in the script.
He ad-libbed that joke. I've just seen a lot of like, Black queers on TikTok just being like, hey, if you're white, you don't gotta share your opinion on this. Because there's a lot of nuance that you're not gonna know.
Yeah, there's like a lot of, I'll just like quickly comment on the idea of like, this is also like the idea of being a Black man putting down a Black woman, which is already such an incredibly like tough situation within culture, within media, within everything, in a very like white space. So it's just, it's like, that's how you want to represent your people. Like, you want to just be rude.
And like, oh my, because there's a bunch of like, so like white celebrities also tweeting, like, talking about like, oh, like he could have like killed him, and it was just like trying to like kind of promote like that like Black man aggressive like stereotype.
That's disgusting. Yeah, it's just
like gross. Like everyone, I think everyone was in the wrong. I think the best part of it was when Will was making a speech and then he said Denzel Washington said to him, "At your highest moment, be careful. That's when the devil comes for you." Because it's like Denzel. Oh. Denzel's like speaking Shakespearean in the modern day.
Someone. Have you ever seen him? It was a tweet or a Reddit post. And it was like this person. And they went like, I had a dream last night that I was on like an airplane. And the airplane was empty except for me and Barack Obama. And he said like something incredibly wise. And then I woke up and somebody was like, I think that Barack Obama like visited you in your dream. And just said something like incredibly wise.
Oh, I mean, Barack Obama famously is part of the Inception crew.
He's a...
You see the You've seen the clip of Obama was visiting. He was visiting some. I think it was like a library he was visiting, and this like this girl was showing him how something worked on a computer, and he was standing like right next to this girl, and the girl's boyfriend off screen just goes, "Hey, don't touch my girlfriend," and he just kind of goes like, "Did he actually just say that?" And it was he had that very funnily.
Wait, speaking about the Obamas, I feel like Alex, you'll specifically appreciate this.
Uh-oh.
You know that episode of iCarly when Michelle Obama appears?
Yeah.
Yes.
My guy Tebow rolls up and he's like, "Oh, she got a boyfriend."
Like, yes, the First Lady of the United States does have a husband, Tebow of the Groovy Smoothie.
I love that, like, Michelle Obama has so many, like, TV cameos that she just genuinely is like, yeah, I'll go on a TV. She's in, like, Parks and Rec, too.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama is, like, the cornerstone for so many people's, like, extended universe theories about TV shows. Because they're like, well, Michelle Obama appeared here. Is she here? But I'm like, guys, Michelle Obama exists in our real life. So does that mean we are in the... iCarly.
Yes.
But that's like in Avengers Endgame, back before all the multiverse stuff happened, they very casually mentioned Hot Tub Time Machine, which is a movie which features Sebastian Stan, who plays Bucky. And so people were like, hold on. Do you think that, like, Chris watched, didn't you, like, Steve watched Hot Tub Time Machine and was like, wait a minute. Or same with Star Wars. We know that Star Wars exists, and like Samuel Jackson was in Star Wars. All these things.
Yes.
God, it's so hard being an actor. Oh my god. Jack, do we have enough time to play your game?
We do. Yeah.
To ruin this podcast.
No, we can totally play my game. So I've been thinking a lot about pizza recently. I just like pizza. We ate pizza the other day. I love pizza. And there's a lot of different styles of pizza. So the main style that we all know and love is New York style pizza. It's just classic pizza, sauce, cheese, crust, maybe some toppings. Maybe you put some toppings or cheese in that crust. I personally love that. There's also a lot of different kinds of pizza. So pretty much I am going to name a different style of pizza. And you are guessing what, like, makes it different from New York style pizza.
Okay, is this a buzzer situation?
No, I'm gonna say that you both can have a guess.
Okay.
Wait, Alex, because it's the last episode, should we, like, work together?
You want to team up?
Oh my god.
Yeah,
look at this.
Hey, I never want to compete against you, Beth.
This is a trick here.
Let's be a team.
Gunno has this amazing, like, surfer dude boyfriend character, and we were doing the bit the other day where he's also, like, incredibly socially aware. he's like,
I understand that monogamy is just ownership of a person, but that's the promise we made to each other, so we should be faithful to that.
He's like, babe, I don't mind paying tonight because I know that you as a woman make 17% less than I do, even in the same position. It's like, incredibly, all right, we should jump into it. So yeah. Your first style is Sicilian style pizza.
Sicily
is a area in Italy. I do not know if it's a city or something else.
Okay, so this is what I know about Italian pizzas, is that, like, so pizza for us is, like, in, like, the New York style, it's like a shareable food, right? But, like, pizza in Italy is very much like an individual, like, pizza thing, right?
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that might be a good context clue.
I know that, like, Sicilian style pizza, when it's, like, produced here, if you see, like, Sicilian style pizza, mm-hmm. it usually has some sort of sausage topping, like a Sicilian sausage topping that usually contains, like, fennel and something like that. So I think that's a really good thing as well.
Right.
I also assume because it's Italian, it's probably, like, stone oven or wood oven, rather.
Yeah, so Jack, everything we've just said in the past 30 seconds.
All right, I'm just going to ask you to briefly repeat it. I took that time to respond to a text.
You suck. Okay, wood oven, non-shareable sausage, fennel sausage, Sicilian sausage.
Yeah. So I am not going to give you the point for this one. And I'll send a photo of what it looks like. It's more like, it's almost like bread and just they put sauce on top. Like, I don't know how else to describe it.
Just sends a picture of a calzone.
I send a picture of like a cheesecake.
That's a calzone.
Also, side note, not that long ago, Alex and I were both in like the food court on campus. And there's this place, it's called like something pies. And I said to Alex, like, whoa, we have a place that sells pies on campus. And Alex kind of went, Jack, it's a pizza place. And I went, oh.
Like pizza pie.
Also, the thing you just sent us is like, it feels like a cross between garlic bread and deep dish.
I know, right? Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. That just reminds me of like focaccia, which is also like an Italian style bread, but with sauce on top.
All right, so the next style is Roman style, and this will we'll probably just cut it off after this one.
Roman style pizza.
Oh no, let's go over.
Okay.
I feel like it has to be built over 3 days.
Oh.
That's my final answer, Alex. If you want to add anything.
Okay. I think that it is. Like, I feel like it's like you build it yourself. Like, it's like all the toppings come, but you have to put them all on your own, and it's just this big slab of bread.
My real answer is I think it's like probably on some like some type of like different type of bread, like a naan style where it's like,
yeah,
you know. That feels pretty Roman. I mean, I know naan isn't Roman, but like that style of bread feels pretty Roman.
Well, I mean, you get like some Roman food, get some naan, order some like tikka masala.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay, let's see this bread.
You're not too far off. It's pretty much more just like an oval, I would say. And then I can run you through. So it's funny, Alex, that you mentioned focaccia.
What I pictured, sorry.
Yeah, when he talked about the other kind is that one of the kinds that I was going to talk about is buffalo style. And they say that it's pretty much, it's closer to focaccia than it is pizza crust.
Buffalo? Like as in Buffalo, New York?
That is correct, yeah. I was also going to go through St. Louis style. And in St. Louis style, the crust is almost like a cracker. It's incredibly thin. It's not even like flat crust. It's literally like crunchy thin. And I was also going to mention Neapolitan style pizza.
The only thing that I would have gotten is if you said Chicago.
Yeah.
I figured that deep dish is too obvious. And there's also like Chicago thin crust. And I thought that was also pretty obvious.
See, I thought this game was going to be like, you know how like Swedish pizza has like kiwis on it?
Yeah.
I thought it was gonna be like different things like that. I did not expect to see garlic bread with tomatoes on it.
I actually was like different pizzas. Yeah, on this list that I didn't use was Detroit style, which is kind of like deep dish. California style, whoa.
Which
Miami
is like
style
serving sizes.
Yeah. Got it. I love pizza.
I love pizza so much.
Guys, we should get pizza.
We should get pizza.
Are we going to Marty's?
Maybe.
Pizza?
Yeah, we are.
So we're going to go get pizza. And that is actually all the time that we have for this week. Thank you, Alex and Gunno, for coming on. Thank you for hosting.
I feel so honored.
Creating the games.
Thank you for letting
us host. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Oh, thank you. It's been a very fun year. And I am very much looking forward to returning next year. And we will see everybody next year.